I will open the Subcommittee of Natural Resources for June 3rd, 2015. We have one item on the agenda, a public hearing on HB 3531 relating to the marketing of organ products. Do you have anything from LFO?
I can speak about the bill very quickly.
Okay.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, House Bill 3531 directs the Department of Agriculture to establish a program to promote the sales of Oregon raw and value-added agricultural products and consult with various industry stakeholders to develop the program. The bill currently has a blank general fund appropriation in it.
Okay. We only have one person signed up to testify, and I do believe we have representatives of the Department of Agriculture here. So, Mr. Fisher, will you come forward? Mr. Fisher, we won't limit your time, but that doesn't mean that you'll go for 10 or 15 minutes. We'll just try to keep you going as long enough till Representative Clem gets here, but we'll give him a limit also. So.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Joel Fisher on behalf of the Oregon Business Association. I'm going to give you a little bit of background, kind of what brought us here to this bill, this idea. Food and beverage manufacturing represents a really key opportunity for creating jobs in Oregon. There should be a handout going around, and the slide on the top left shows what Oregon's food and beverage manufacturing has done when compared to all other industry sectors. So you'll notice here what you see. We have the black line represents all of the industry sectors, and in 2008 we have the economic recession and everything kind of takes a nosedive, except for that red line, which represents food and beverage manufacturing in Oregon. And we see that that industry sector here in Oregon continues to pull through, create jobs, and grow. There are some other slides which I didn't include here today, which show Oregon's food and beverage manufacturing as compared with food and beverage manufacturing just across the U.S. And similarly, food and beverage manufacturing across the U.S. takes a decline during the recession. But as you see, you know, Oregon continues to grow. So we have some comparative advantages. We're doing some things right. And this is an industry sector that we've decided to look a little bit more closely at. At the same time, we've seen economic data showing that we're kind of starting to pull out of the recession. Oregon's doing pretty well. But then you separate out Portland from the rest of rural Oregon, and it's got a little bit of a different story. Portland's doing even better. Rural Oregon is not quite back to where we were before the recession, and some areas are still kind of in economic decline and not doing quite as well. This is an area, rural Oregon, you know, that benefits greatly from industry sectors like this, food and beverage manufacturing. So looking at that economic data about a year ago, we partnered with the Oregon Business Council and the Oregon Business Development Department, or better known as Business Oregon, to do what we've kind of called the rural tour around Oregon. We spent the summer, it's been about 6 weeks, going to about 17 different cities in Oregon, all of the, I think it's 12 different regions across Oregon, meeting with local business owners, touring local businesses, talking with local economic development people about what are the things that we can be doing to growing the economy in rural Oregon. And for sure, agriculture and food and beverage manufacturing are one of those really big important things that we can do. So on the back of this sheet that I've handed out, you'll see probably 8 or 9 different ideas that we've put together. So today we're talking very specifically about one, the brand, branding Oregon products. But it, I just include this to show you this is, part of a bigger effort around things that would affect food and beverage manufacturing and specifically rural Oregon. So the idea here started, we've bounced around a couple of different ideas, perhaps doing some sort of certification that would get, you know, people a credit for some of the things that we're already doing here in Oregon. You know, our land use system, we produce products more sustainably than our neighbors and higher quality than a lot of our neighbors. Hey, Representative. So we've bounced around.
Representative Clem, you can join.
Bounced around a couple different ideas. And the one that really kind of has legs that took off was this idea of, that Oregon has kind of developed this brand. Oregon wines, for example, command twice the price of wines from Washington or California because we have this perceived quality that allows us to do that. So the idea was, how can we continue those efforts develop some tools, you know, kind of specifically creating more branding ideas around Oregon's brand and promote them in primarily international markets. We've had a lot of conversations with the Northwest Food Processors Association, which wasn't able to be here today, but deputized me to say that they are supportive, and with the Oregon Department of Agriculture around, you know, where we should target these. And primarily, we think this should be focused in international markets. And so I'll maybe take a minute to let Representative Klim add his perspective before I move on.
Hi, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, especially the House, who knew I was going to be here today, and so I'm thankful to Representative Hack at least for coming. So I'm Brian Klim, State Representative from District 21 here in Salem, and I also chair the House Water Use Land Communities Rural, and it's just a different order, but it's roughly that committee. And we sent this bill to you, I think unanimously, and as Joel mentioned, we had some earlier conversations about a little bit different concept called Certified Oregon, and we were challenged, I would say, but from both sides about coming up with a definition and what that would mean and what implications that would have. So we pivoted over to this approach instead, which is rather than trying to label the program, we just talk about developing and establishing a program to create a marketing plan for Oregon products, rather than get into here what the name of that would be and what the definitions would be of what the name meant. Because once you do that, you start getting people falling off from both sides, accusing you of either greenwashing or trying to create new standards that they don't want to have to live by. And so it just got very uncomfortable very fast from both sides. So what we have in front of you is essentially a fiscal request, and there are a couple different options that the ODA has outlined. I'm not sure if you have these or not, but depending on different budget levels, they could do more tours to promote products in more cities, more countries, more products. For example, at $500,000, they would do an international city with a major retailer in that city, a 3 to 6 month promotion with 1 to 3 products, product categories. To promote a particular type of Oregon agricultural product. At $1 million, they would do 2 targeted international cities and 3 to 5 product categories. And so you can sort of buy more products, more categories, and more exposure as you make investments in the program. And the goal here is to affect, you know, particularly international and non-Oregon based opinions about buying Oregon food. Most Oregonians already know that we grow the safest and best food in the world, and we are starting to develop a reputation that we want to tap into. And eventually, the hope is moving beyond food to capture our sort of I mean, the way I think of it, frankly, is we already do so many things here beyond what are the standards in other places, and we already often do things above and beyond the law to promote sustainability through various certification programs. For example, our orchards is part of a co-op. Our entire co-op is what's called Global GAP certified. That's not legally required. We choose to do it in order to, be more sustainable, B, sell our products at a higher price in markets where Global GAP buys you something. And we have a lot of companies in Oregon who market globally, and our belief is trying to attach the Oregon name to their products, if they're willing to let us piggyback on their product, would be very helpful for the state of Oregon in other product categories. Think of things like Nike and Columbia. Their boxes and brands are all over the world already. So eventually we would love to have them put what state they're headquartered in on their boxes, but we have to convince them that's a good idea, and we're not quite there yet, I think. So for now, we want to work on agricultural products, and then we can talk about other products later. And so that's sorry, I'm straying back more into the origins of the bill, but we've had an evolution from trying to get the Oregon name on every box going out of the state on a voluntary basis by the businesses doing it, down to we think we could make great progress in the agricultural arena with an investment, which is why we're here in front of you today.
Discussion from the committee. Yes, Representative Pat.
Thank you, Chair. Love it. Great idea. I mean, that sums it up. I think this is fantastic.
So that's an easy question.
I have a question. How does this compare to existing programs the Department of Agriculture has, and the relationship to USDA programs in particular, in terms of marketing Oregon products? Or
Mr.
maybe
Chairman,
Department of Agriculture shaking back there. So
I would probably have them come answer. They certainly have marketing programs, and they have marketing dollars that sometimes flow through an entity called, was it WSSADA?
Yeah.
WSSADA, yeah, that will help promote products. So there's some trade missions that occur because of that. I assume this would both amplify those dollars where they could leverage those dollars to be on the same trip, making it more affordable to do more Oregon-specific things. But I'm sure they could give you a more detailed answer than that.
Okay. Would you like to come forward?
Can I go back over there?
Yeah, you can come back. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Lisa Hansen, Deputy Director with the Oregon Department of Agriculture, and with me is Lindsay Ng. She's the Director of our Marketing Programs at ODA. I'm going to let her talk specifically about what this bill would do, but this really does provide augmentation to the work that we do in our marketing program and have historically done. I think Representative Clem did a really nice job of talking about the respect that Oregon agricultural products have in the international market. We've seen a boon in terms of a commodity like blueberries, where it's taking off in Asia, and we're working on entering into new markets like Vietnam and dealing with some of the issues there. So this really becomes a bolt-on to some of the work that we have in other places. So Lindsay, why don't you talk about it specifically, if you would. Thanks.
Sure. Representative Devlin, members of the committee, Lindsay Ng, for the record, from ODA. So exactly as Representative Clem and Lisa had indicated, this is a bolt-on. We have a marketing program currently within the Department of Agriculture, and most of the time we do utilize USDA Market Access Program funds, and that's through WSSADA, as Representative Clem mentioned. For our international trade, that's the bulk of the money that we have to do trade missions and travel. Because it's under the USDA Market Access Program and WSSADA, those are by definition generic funds, so we cannot promote Oregon specifically. We utilize those funds and the ability to get our marketing staff overseas and to be able to do Oregon promotions with the limited state funds that we have, but we don't have a marketing promotional budget as such to promote just Oregon products. So when we looked at this fiscal and looked at the different funding levels, it was just to give the committee a sense of kind of what is needed in those markets in order to get a brand presence as Oregon, and would be done with our existing marketing staff, but would just give us the ability to look at how much reach we'd be able to get in different markets.
Okay. Representative Gomburn had a question either for Representative Clem or the
This panel worked just fine for me, Mr. Chairman. Thank you so much, and I apologize for being late. I was testifying to a Senate committee that got started late for some reason.
Never happens.
good morning. I too am enthusiastic about this bill and about the branding and marketing of Oregon agriculture products, but I wonder if you could take a moment and talk to us about the challenge of getting those products out of state, given the problems that we've been encountering at the Port of Portland of late.
Sure,
Lindsay, you want to respond?
Sure. Chair Devlin, Representative Gumberg, that's certainly a challenge for us. I would say that in our marketing, our market access and certification program area, we probably spend more than 50% of our time with market access issues, more than we can spend in actual marketing and promotion issues. In addition to the West Coast port issue, we also, agriculture is probably by nature one of the most complicated and difficult trade, non-tariff trade barrier industries in the world, as you well know. And so there's a lot of difficulty, but I would say most of our agricultural producers in Oregon have become very adept at getting their product to market and finding other ways. We've been working with Business Oregon and the Governor's Trade and Logistics Initiative to help study what some of those gaps are, and that work is just beginning. But most of our producers ship out of all West Coast ports in order to get their products to Asia, and that's done through a very complicated system of logistics that we assist with mostly on the customs or pest and disease side. Does that help answer your question?
It does indeed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if I just follow up really quickly, I mean, my experience is that with the changes at Terminal 6, that we have other options for shipping, but they take more time. They also take more money. But I would think that particularly with many of your commodities, time is a critical component of delivering products in a usable fashion.
Chair Devlin, Representative Gomberg, you're exactly right. I mean, the situation at the port has been very challenging for agricultural commodities due to the perishable nature that they have and the volatility of the markets. You know, there's serious concern in some of the markets with displacement of Oregon products because of not being able to get our products out in a timely manner and continue to supply those longtime partners. And so that continues to be a concern for Oregon as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize if I took us to the fringe of relevancy, but I think it's an important aspect of what's going on here.
Yes, Senator Denbrough.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So, first of all, let me say I love the preamble to the bill, you know, which lays out sort of the reasons for this. The whereases, I think, are just great argument for why this bill is needed. The summary of it talks about value-added, to create a marketing plan for value-added, and I think that's probably a little misleading because you're actually talking about both value-added and raw Oregon products. And I'm wondering if you have thought about what kind of mix you would be looking at in terms of promoting value-added versus raw. And I ask that in part because, you know, I just exporting raw products is very important, but, you know, we don't want to lose sight of the value added where there are all these escalator effects in terms of jobs, you know, not only in the production of the commodities, but then in transforming them, and a real place for skilled workers as well.
Co-Chair Devlin, Senator Denbrough, thank you. You're absolutely right. Value-added products is where we continue, as Joel mentioned, where we continue to see the growth both in our economy during the recession, but also in our exports. So Rock, we have thought about it, and I think it would mirror similarly to what the department's current marketing programs are internationally. And for our broader national markets, raw products are very important to Oregon agriculture, but branding them as Oregon is sometimes difficult as they're commodity products. They're sold in bulk and sold as commodity products. Some of the raw products that we do tend to work a lot with are our onions, our potatoes that can be branded based on the growing conditions, the Oregon sustainability and other attributes that they're grown with, the Global GAP certifications. So that would be where, if we were marketing raw products, we would focus on fresh fruits, vegetables, nuts, those kinds of things. On the value-added side, though, That's where we see most of our new exporters, and we see a lot of growth in that sector. So it would probably be the focus of this. Also, in international markets, the way that we're manufacturing and the ingredients that we use is well starting to become well known. So marketing products as from Oregon, produced from Oregon, it ties in with our foodie scene that we have very well here, and that's actually becoming very well known in our Asian partner markets as well. So that we utilize that and hopefully elevate it a little bit.
Thank you.
Senator Hansen.
Thank you. I'm assuming the number one product that goes out is grain. It's wheat, barley, and stuff. And that's a raw product, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when you ship that to the soft white winter wheat to the Asian markets, well, it'd be nice to be able to send bread or flour. I'm not sure. I mean, they mill it there for particular products like the sponge cake, I think, in Japan. So I think we're always going to have a huge raw market just in the grains alone. But I really think, as Senator Dimbrough said, wherever we can get, which is going to be the high-value vegetables probably, as far as agricultural products are concerned, or meats as well. But to add the value is really great.
Yes, Representative Klein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hansel just commented on the number one. I assume he meant by volume, because Senator Thompson, if he were still here, and I would argue that pears are, in fact, the number one. Just FYI.
Weight? Is he arguing weight?
I might even argue cherries are, but Senator Thompson, I think, would. So
I think that, Mr. Co-Chair, I think it is both volume and money.
I need a whistle as a referee.
Quality.
And quality.
Oh, well, come on. Okay, that's it.
I do need a whistle. Okay. Just out of curiosity, let's say you had the base funding, the $500,000, and you were going to go into one market. Any ideas on what that market might be?
Co-Chair Devlin, that's a great question. What we had actually talked about when we talked with Business Oregon and Joel and his conversations with Representative Clem's office would be putting together a committee of private business leaders to help us determine what that market would be, so that we could identify where the most growth is and where our businesses actually want to go. Likely it would be in Asia, just from what we know of where our growing markets continue to be, but we'd want that feedback from private industry to help guide that for us.
Very good question. That's a very
good answer.
Yes, from Sinclair.
I'll take a moment just to comment on something. So what's ironic about my situation is, for the last several years, I've been working on exporting products to Asia, but I've never export any of our own fruit, because we already have a relationship with the company. Our co-op contracts with another company who does all the marketing. So every time I've been there, people are like, don't you have a farm? And why aren't you selling those? And because you will routinely see the lowest price, for example, for cherries is probably the Costco in Taiwan, in Taipei, for about between almost $8 and $9 a pound. And sometimes you see them as high as $20 a pound. In
U.S.
stores.
Equivalency?
Or? U.S. dollars. Okay. Yeah, not NT dollars, yeah, which are 30 to 1. But Joel lived there, he knows. But they'll just pay a fortune, and it's incredible. And I've been unable to figure out how to tap into it personally, because we already had a long-term contract, and our whole co-op sells to another entity that then sells it. But it's interesting for the small growers who don't sell directly to learn about the markets, because I did visit with a fruit buyer one time, and he explained to me why he thought our whole sales strategy was wrong, and he didn't know why we do it the way we do it. And so then I was able to go back, complain to my cousin who sits on the co-op board. He was able to make some adjustments. But most of the growers don't have a lot of experience themselves in what it would take to sell in a market. And, you know, so you end up using middle people, and they then take all the money. And so it's nice to have some programs like this that are building brand awareness that also aren't skimming off a whole lot of your the difference between the, like, you know, 15 cents we might get for a pair to the grower side and the dollars, you know, something that you'll pay in the grocery store. This is a way where the growers can get more direct access without having to pay all those middle people.
Any additional? Well, thank you very much for coming today. Thank you, Joel. This is for a public hearing today. We couldn't do a work session anyway. It only has a blank spot in the appropriation amount. So, but we'll close the public hearing for today, and hopefully we'll be able to bring this bill back sometime in the relatively near future. And with that, we are adjourned, and hope you all enjoy yourself tomorrow.